Blog Talk Radio.
We interrupt this broadcast for an emergency announcement. A massive earthquake. The flood has reached. All roads into and out of are closed. No medical services. Store shelves have been stripped.
What's coming? Are you ready? You are at the right place to hear the best ways to stay safe and weather the coming storm. Welcome to Power Preppers. Here is your host, Patricia Baker.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Power Preppers. I am your host, Patricia Baker. And my mission is to help you get healthy and get prepared for any emergency easily and efficiently. So please remember also to sign up for our newsletter at supernaturalgirlswithaz.com for all the latest show information, discounts, and giveaways for both Power Preppers and Supernatural Girls Radio. So this Saturday night, I just wanted to let you know, we've got one of our most favorite guests in the world joining us. And so my co-host, Becky Andreasen, and myself will be welcoming world-renowned expert on the occult and magic, Lon Milo Duquette. And not only does he always give us great information, he is totally entertaining. He's written 16 critically acclaimed books on everything from Enochian vision magic to Aleister Crowley to the Thoth Tarot. And he's going to be doing an Enochian angel call right on the show. He's done that before, and it's truly, truly amazing. So I'm just so happy to have him coming on the show again. This will be his third visit to Supernatural Girls. And we hope you will join us. I can guarantee it's going to be a rip-roaring time with Lon Milo Duquette. My favorite book of his is My Life with the Spirits. So he's going to be telling us all about his life with the spirits on Saturday night, 9 to 11. Be sure to join us. Now, today we have a very important guest for you, Dr. Terry Walls. And Dr. Walls is author of the new book, The Walls Protocol, How I Beat Progressive MS Using Paleo Principles and Functional Medicine. Now, Dr. Walls is a clinical professor of medicine at the University of Iowa, where she teaches internal medicine residents, sees patients in a traumatic brain injury clinic, and conducts clinical trials. She is also a patient herself with secondary progressive multiple sclerosis, which confined her to a tilt-recline wheelchair for 4 years. But Dr. Walls was undaunted. She restored her own health, and now she even pedals her own bicycle to work every day. So we want to find out, all of us do, how Dr. Walls achieved this. This is an incredible, incredible story. And Dr. Walls, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I'm thrilled to be here.
It's a privilege. It's a privilege to have you on the air. You are a trailblazer in so many ways. But my goodness, please start telling us. We have so much to talk about. But tell us your story. You were diagnosed with MS.
Sure. Yeah. So in 2000, I started having problems stumbling and was evaluated. I had a lot of blood tests, nerve conduction velocities, MRIs of my spinal cord and brain, a spinal tap, and then the diagnosis was made of multiple sclerosis on the basis of a history of visual dimming 13 years earlier, the new problem with my leg, lesions in my cervical spinal cord, and then in abnormal spinal fluid. I was told to begin disease-modifying drugs that would cost about $1,000 a month. I decided to go see a internationally recognized MS center at the Cleveland Clinic, and they looked everything over and agreed that I had MS and urged me to begin disease-modifying drugs, which I did. And I had one episode of weakness that's called a relapse in 2001. So for the next 3 years, only one relapse would be considered a huge success. But the problem was I was getting progressively weaker. Walking was more difficult. I had much more fatigue. And so in 2003, my doc told me that I had transitioned to secondary progressive MS, recommended first a scooter and then a tilt-reclined wheelchair because of the severe fatigue. I started Novantrone, took chemotherapy, and then when it became available, took Tysabri. When it was pulled from the market, I switched to Cellcept, still about $1,000 a month. But when I hit the wheelchair is when I went back to reading the medical literature because I knew the mouse studies would have the seeds for the standard of treatment in 30 to 50 years. So I began reading about diseases with shrinking brains, so it would be MS, dementia, Huntington's disease, Lou Gehrig's disease, and saw that mitochondria were a big problem in all those conditions. And with more reading, I found studies in which mouse mitochondria in their brains had been protected using vitamins and supplements. So I added those vitamins and supplements, and it slowed the speed of my decline, but I was still declining. By 2007, I could walk short distances using two canes. I could sit up in a regular chair for about 10 minutes. Otherwise, I was in a recliner or in bed.
So the vitamins and mineral supplements helped a little bit.
They slowed the rate at which I was getting disabled. So so that was helpful, and I was profoundly grateful. But they didn't fix me. And I should also tell you, I had discovered the paleo diet, and after having been a vegetarian for 20 years, I started eating meat in 2002. So the paleo diet was not enough to cure me either or, you know, stop the decline.
That's interesting. So neither one of these things by themselves was the answer.
Was enough. No, absolutely not. Mm-hmm. And then the summer of 2007, I discovered the Institute of Functional Medicine and took their course, Neuroprotection, a Functional Medicine Approach for Common and Uncommon Neurologic Syndromes. Deepened my understanding of what I could do for my brain. And I had a much longer list of nutrients that my brain needed. I now had 19. And so I started taking those. And then a couple months later, I had what I think was the most brilliant insight was that I should get these 19 nutrients from my food, that instead of relying on synthetic man-made versions of these supplements and vitamins, I should get them from the food. So I that took more research to figure that out. But by the end of December, I had reorganized my eating plan to maximize these nutrients, still using a paleo diet. And that's when the magic began.
Really?
3 months later, I was able to walk throughout the hospital without a cane. 6 months later, I was able to get on my bike the first time in about 5 years. And a year later, I'm able to do an 18-mile bike ride with my family.
Oh, my gosh. That is miraculous. So what do you attribute this to? This is such an incredible turnaround with all of your symptoms. I mean, you were clearly going downhill, even with the addition of vitamins, even with the addition of doing the paleo diet. It
correct.
Still wasn't, as you said, enough. So what was the key to all of this healing?
I think it was the very comprehensive approach. Paleo diets are certainly much more nutrient-dense than the standard American diet. But unless you are structuring it in a very specific way, you can still miss key nutrients that your brain and mitochondria need. And so I've created this structured paleo diet designed specifically for my brain that is much more nutrient-dense.
You've added the nutrients to your diet, so you're eating them, what, three times a day? Do you have three meals that you're eating, or do you eat more?
So I have the plan looks like, and keep in mind, I'm quite tall, so I'm 6 foot tall, so I have three to six cups of greens, 3 cups of sulfur-rich vegetables, so that's in the cabbage family, onion family, mushroom family, and 3 cups of deeply colored vegetables and berries. So it'd be things like, you know, cranberries, blueberries, beets, peppers, tomatoes.
And this is one day's worth?
That's in one day. And
okay.
I have high-quality protein, animal protein. I eat a lot of organ meat, seaweed, and iodized sea salt.
Okay. And are there there are things that you don't eat also?
Correct.
Dairy?
So there are things that I've removed from the diet because they have a high risk of causing food sensitivities. And I know for me, I do have a sensitivity to the protein in wheat, rye, and barley, known as gluten. The protein in dairy, also called casein, and the proteins in eggs.
So those
three things are excluded from the diet. And in terms of food sensitivity risk, those would be at the highest frequency of food sensitivities for westernized populations.
So you're able to stay on this diet, and in 3 months you notice a huge change in your health, and in 6 months you're back to mountain biking with your family. That's a very short period of time to turn this all around.
I would say mountain biking is probably an overstatement.
Okay.
I'm road biking, but you know, doing an 18-mile bike ride on the road really felt quite miraculous because I had completely accepted what my doctor had said when I had the secondary progressive MS, and that was functions once lost are permanently gone. There's no recovery anymore. All we can hope to do is stabilize you and slow the rate of decline. And that's the standard expectation for anyone who has secondary progressive MS or primary progressive MS. No one expects you to get better. And, my case is the only case report of secondary progressive MS that has such a restoration of function.
Wow. So, again, clearly you have hit on an answer, and it's something that you are now able to help other people with.
Yes.
So
you know,
not just your specific case. This is across the board for people with autoimmune disease, not just MS, but other autoimmune
diseases. Oh, absolutely.
Diseases.
So, you know, this experience really changed me. It's sort of like the old me who scoffed at alternative medicine has been replaced by somebody who really appreciates integrative medicine, nutrition, and lifestyle. And so how I view disease and health has changed. How I practice medicine has changed. So how I practice primary care is quite different. I have a traumatic brain injury clinic with a lot of mental health issues that we take care of as well. And so we use this protocol, diet and lifestyle, for people with diabetes, obesity, other autoimmune conditions, people with mental health issues, recovering from traumatic brain injury. And so this is an adjunct to whatever their usual treatments have been. And it's very, very powerful at improving health vitality. And when people stay with it over time, they need fewer and fewer drugs. And furthermore, they youthen. They come in looking younger and more vital, you know, every time we see them.
This is so exciting because these are some simple things that people can do for themselves. And you're giving them all of this protocol in your book that's coming out in May, correct? That's when you're
in March. March 13th.
Okay, so just in a couple of days it's going to be available. And again, the name
of
the book is...
Yeah, it'll be very soon.
The Walls Protocol, How I Beat Progressive MS Using Paleo Principles and Functional Medicine. This is a must-have, I think, for everybody, not just for people who have autoimmune diseases, but for people in general, because what you're talking about here is a way to create health across the board. And
yes.
This is great. I mean, my goodness, when you look at, I look at all these advertisements on television, and they're kind of crazy to me. It's like, well, if you can't eat all that greasy barbecued food, then you need this pill. It's like, what about, maybe you shouldn't be eating this greasy barbecued food.
Right. So they'll talk about if you have this condition, and they'll list a wide variety of medical problems, take these new, very expensive drugs. And by the way, if you get any of these long list of side effects, tell your doc.
Right.
What I tell my patients is that pills can't restore health in the absence of a proper diet, a normalized stress hormone level, and moving your body. That those are things our bodies must have in order to have health. And there's no medication that can create health if you won't give yourself, you know, the proper diet.
So true.
Yeah.
It's so true. I mean, people are kind of brainwashed into thinking there's going to be a magic pill and there's going to be a quick fix. But when you're faced with a horrible illness like MS or any of these other autoimmune diseases, you quickly learn that if you don't take your health into your own hands, you're going to go downhill fast. Because my experience with autoimmune disease and the people that I'm watching also with it, if you just put your faith in your doctor and expect something great's going to happen, it isn't going to happen because those drugs are not the answer.
They may control symptoms, but they don't change the underlying disease process.
Right.
And so they may be able to control some of the acute inflammation, but they won't deter the degeneration of the brain cells and the degeneration of other organ systems that are being damaged by the poor diet and lifestyle choices that led to the development of your autoimmune disease.
Now, you were a vegetarian for years. So
yeah, about 20.
What do you think led to this for you? Because it sounded like you're living a fairly healthy lifestyle.
Well, so I'll sort of, and I talk about this at length in my book. I think there is a big toxic load exposure, pesticides from the farm, heavy metals from my years in art, in solvents because of the woodworking, formaldehyde, then of course just the toxic high stress environment of medical school and residency. We have all of that and a little vitamin D deficiency thrown in there. The vegetarian diet probably set me up for imbalanced omega-3, omega-6 fats, inadequate B vitamin levels. And though, I mean, by many standards, I was having a what would look like a fairly nutrient-dense diet, but when I compare that to the kind of the nutrient density that I have now, I'm easily, you know, vastly more nutrient-dense now and nutrient-dense for the things I know my brain needs. Furthermore, because of the high starch intake and lots of antibiotic use as a kid because of tonsillitis, I likely had an overgrowth of yeast and dysbiosis, or the wrong mix of bacteria in my bowels. So it's really a mix of many environmental factors, plus my unique DNA, genetic vulnerabilities, probably had less efficient enzymes at metabolizing the B vitamins, which made it hard for me to process and eliminate toxins and to process and create the proper brain structures.
Right, so that makes sense. And then there's also a lot said about a possible viral or bacterial involvement with this that puts further stress on your system.
Yes.
Have you found that to be also a factor?
There probably was some. Clearly, there must have been some infection that I had as a young, you know, an adolescent or a young adult that is part of setting the stage for getting MS. It could be chlamydia, could have been a Lyme, could have been herpes 6 virus, EBV virus, Bartonella. There's, you know, about a dozen different organisms that have been identified as possible precursors to MS.
So there's a lot of elements that it sounds like could come into play to create this disease. To have it manifest.
Correct.
To someone.
And that is why there's not one solution that will work for everyone. There's an approach to allow you to address all of these factors that will be successful for the vast majority. There'll be some people who won't get the full level of recovery that they're hoping that may need to have a more in-depth functional medicine evaluation to personalize these recommendations a bit more.
Right. But functional medicine, now tell us a little more about that. What exactly is functional medicine?
So it's a new area that really is devoted to taking the latest science and helping us understand how the physiology, that is, how my mitochondria work, how my hormones work, how my gut is working, the balance between infection and excessive inflammation are all working in the context of my unique story of health from the time I was in my mama's tummy as a developing baby to where I am now, that allows me to identify the diet and lifestyle factors that are contributing to my disease state and how I can optimize diet and lifestyle along with conventional medicine to get the best health outcomes. And often when you really address the diet and lifestyle, you dramatically change health outcomes by improving health, reducing symptoms, reducing the need for medication. And very often, so you can stabilize progressive diseases and very often regress them, reduce symptoms, and often get off medication. Now, it takes longer. It can take a couple years to get off the meds. But I've certainly seen people experience marked improvement in 3 to 6 months that had been completely unachievable if you just used conventional meds.
Yeah, so this is a complete turnaround. And for people who have autoimmune conditions like this, it does seem to make sense to look in other directions because there is no cure in traditional medicine for MS and for many autoimmune diseases. All it
is
managing symptoms.
That's right. You know, and really, there is no cure for hypertension or diabetes. You take drugs.
Right.
And you have to take drugs forever. The only cures are for an infectious disease-related problem.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you use diet and lifestyle to help people, with diet and lifestyle, you can sometimes cure the high blood pressure and sometimes cure the type 2 diabetic. And the same thing is true, for the vast majority of our chronic diseases. There's no cure when you use drugs, but you sometimes can get complete regression of the disease when you use diet and lifestyle.
And that would be the goal, because
that is the goal.
You lose your quality of life when you're being debilitated by a progressive disease like this.
Absolutely.
And now, with MS, there may be some members of our audience listening today that don't know what happens with MS. So maybe if you could give
a
version of that so people understand a little bit more about the disease. They may have a friend or relative who has it and would like to know a little bit more about it.
The current understanding is that the immune cells are attacking the myelin, which is the insulation on the wiring between brain cells. So there's damage in the brain and in the spinal cord. That can lead to problems with sensation, problems with coordination, balance, motor skills. 80% are diagnosed with relapsing remitting, so things get worse, called a relapse, get better, called a remission. Within 10 years, half of those people will have converted to secondary progressive, which is what I had. The disease is steadily deteriorating. There's no more improvement. There's just the degeneration, that is the damage to the wiring. The breaks, and traditionally you think once function is lost, it's never coming back because the axon or the connective wiring has been broken. And so the disease is handled by giving people disease-modifying agents that suppress the immune cells so they can't attack the brain as well. There are very few neurologists spend much time talking to their patients about diet, or lifestyle, stress reduction, exercise, or do they teach them what the brain cells need for nutrition? Or do they talk about mitochondria, what the mitochondria need for nutrition?
Now, what is the function of mitochondria? Because you've been talking about that a lot. So tell us more about that.
Well, 1.5 billion years ago, the Earth was covered with this new poison called oxygen, which killed off most of the life. Fortunately for us, there were a few bacteria that had figured out how to use this poison to generate energy more efficiently. And these bacteria were engulfed by larger bacteria. So those tiny bacteria are the forerunners of our mitochondria, and they run the energy for all of our cells. The cells that need the most energy, our brain cells, retina, and heart cells, have the most mitochondria per cell. And clinically, when I see somebody who's having fatigue, having brain fog, or a decreasing tolerance with their heart, it's because the mitochondria are not generating energy as efficiently. And so my approach for that patient is to teach them how to more effectively nourish their mitochondria, you know, basically using the Walls diet. And typically, within 3 months, people come in observing a big jump in energy and a big jump in mental clarity, which continues to further improve the longer they're on the diet.
That is tremendous. Now, it sounds like the mitochondria are kind of like the battery.
They are the battery of life.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So that's what we have to keep vibrant and keep feeding, giving it what it's need, what it needs, so that we have energy, so that we can heal also, because without energy, how are we going to heal?
Absolutely. And we have to protect our mitochondria from poisons. You know, the heavy metals, lead, mercury, arsenic, damage the enzymes that the mitochondria use and make it much less effective at generating energy. So as we get more poisoned by pollution, the mitochondria often suffer.
And now I have a question for you on all of this poisoning that's going on. Because I talk to doctors about this who are traditional doctors, and they're not open to a lot of things that you're discussing. But they also don't have the disease personally, so they don't have the interest and the motivation that you would have or I would have in something like this. But when I say to them, you know, it seems to me that there's an increase, a tremendous increase in autoimmune disorders. They'll say, oh, no, that's not true.
Absolutely there is. There is. You can look at these charts that show, you know, a rapid decline in infectious diseases. At the same time, there's been a rapid increase in autoimmune problems, inflammatory bowel disease, type 1 diabetes, MS, autism. And every year we have more and more diseases reclassified as autoimmune. In fact, atherosclerosis is now being studied as an autoimmune disease by some of the research labs.
Wow.
So, you know, I predict in 10 years we'll have an even larger number of diseases that we classify as autoimmune in nature.
And again, they're on the rise. There's no getting away from this. They are on
the
rise.
Yes, absolutely. Very much on the rise.
And they used to be fairly rare from what I've understood from past research that I've done. It just seems like there weren't that many cases of ALS or MS, and now all of a sudden there's a glut of them.
Absolutely. They are rare. They're being diagnosed at an earlier and younger age. In fact, with MS, I believe the youngest MS patient now is 6.
Oh, that's awful. My
God. It's terrible.
It's heartbreaking.
It is awful. The cost for treating these autoimmune conditions using just drugs is $50,000 to $60,000 a year.
Wow.
And when you have drugs that are so potent at blocking the immune system to, you know, stop that autoimmune drug, that autoimmune disease, you'll have enormous complications because our inflammation system is an integral part of how our bodies run the biology of life. And so you'll have many, many side effects that range from mild and annoying to life-threatening. These are not easy drugs to take from a side effect profile. And, of course, they're not easy drugs to take from an expense profile. And, you know, our society, it's devastating to our society to take on this ever-increasing cost.
Absolutely, it is. And it's frustrating when I see people choosing to eat a certain way, to be sedentary, even if they don't have an autoimmune disease. You can just see where this may head and whether it goes into heart disease or autoimmune or something else. And this is what I love about your work and the book that's coming out in just a couple of days. And again, the name of the book is The Walls Protocol, How I Beat Progressive MS Using Paleo Principles and Functional Medicine. You're helping people take control of their own health, and you're giving them very clear choices, and by your own example, you've been able to beat MS. So you're giving people a very clear picture of how things can be different for them just by eating a nutrient-dense diet and staying away from the inflammatory foods.
Yes.
And other things that I want to get into. I'm just going to take a short commercial break here, Dr. Walls. And for people listening, if you have a question for Dr. Walls, please call in. The number is 646-478-0828. Again, that number is 646-478-0828. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Bonjour, this is Véronique Raskin, founder of the Organic One Company. As one of the pioneers of the Organic One movement, since 1980, I have brought you the very best and most authentic organic wines directly to your table. I work with small family estates who grow certified organic grapes and produce exceptional wines. You can purchase our wines individually from our website at theorganicwinecompany.com or join one of our wine clubs. Our organic wines are perfect for you and for your family as gifts for friends and relatives, and they are simply spectacular for the holidays. Visit us at theorganicwinecompany.com to enjoy the very best organic wines conveniently delivered to your door. I am Véronique Raskin, passionate about my mission. I offer to you vegan, organic, and biodynamic wines, wines made by people of the heart, wines with a heart. Au revoir. Call us at 1-888-ECO-WINE.
Your property tax bill. Have you seen it lately? It's frightening. Your property taxes are going up while your home value is going down. It's time to fight back and win. For the real truth about the property tax system, get attorney Pat Quintilian's book, Are You Getting Screwed on Your Property Taxes? How to Find Out and How to Fix It. Attorney Quintilian answers all your questions and gives you the facts you need to fight a property tax bill that is spiraling out of control. You'll also read about what happens to property owners who don't check their property records, only to find out too late they're taxed on square footage, fixtures, and even buildings that they don't own. Is this happening to you? Learn your rights. Buy Attorney Pat Quintilian's book today. Are You Getting Screwed on Your Property Taxes? How to Find Out and How to Fix It. Available on Amazon.com.
Are you ready for a new experience of freedom and powerful connection? Would you like a positive, effortless change in your life? Then come to CosmicFusion.com, where we offer the most advanced energy clearing and expansion techniques in the world, with a quantum vortex energy to activate your divine blueprint and life's purpose. When your soul leads the way with cosmic fusion and quantum vortex energy, you can break clear of past difficulties and blocks with the power of the source. With cosmic fusion, the source energy does the work for you. It's easy and effortless. Listen to our free meditation right from our cosmic fusion website, the Cosmic Code Meditation. Sign up for one of our interactive webinars today. Come to Cosmic Fusion. www.kosmicfusion.com to experience an effortless awakening and transformation. Are you ready for an upgrade? Are you ready for a new experience of living in the fifth dimensional magic and powerful connection? Then visit cosmicfusion.com today. cosmicfusion.com.
Welcome back, everyone. We are having a terrific discussion and a very important discussion with Dr. Terry Walls, who is the author of a new book, The Walls Protocol, How I Beat Progressive MS Using Paleo Principles and Functional Medicine. You can get this book on Amazon.com in just a couple of days. So, Dr. Walls, let's talk a little bit more about the paleo principles that you are using, because I've got some questions here from the chat room. And
oh, good.
One of them is this. Somebody wants to know, because you mentioned that dairy is not on the list here, mm-hmm. and they're saying, if I'm not allergic to dairy, can I still eat it on this particular, with this particular protocol?
So I discuss this at length in my book, and that until people take these foods out of their diet, they really have no idea if they have a sensitivity to the food or not, because you've been taking it every day. And you've accommodated to that level of inflammation in your system. I discuss how to remove the food from your diet and then to do a re-challenge test to see if you experience a jump in symptoms. But just because you think I can have wheat or dairy or eggs now and I have no symptoms, it simply means that you're eating them with enough frequency that you've accommodated to that level of inflammation in your body.
That's fascinating. I never even considered that, but it makes perfect sense. So what you're saying is take this out of your diet, and in your book you give specific instructions on how to do that, and then reintroduce it and see if you have some type of reaction.
Correct.
Or not.
Correct. Basically, okay. I teach people how to do an elimination diet in a very simple way, so they can take the foods at highest risk for food sensitivities out, and then we talk about when to reintroduce them and see if they're tolerated or if you have symptoms.
Okay, and then another question from the chat room is about nightshade vegetables like tomatoes mm-hmm. and eggplant.
Sure.
Are those a part of the diet or not?
So I talk about food sensitivities and food allergy at length in the book. And I take out the three foods that are at the highest rate. So that's the gluten, dairy, or casein, and eggs. Then soy would be the next. Nightshades would be the next. And then you could have citrus, strawberries, a variety of meats. And there are some paleo authors who take everything out and then have people slowly add things back in. And that's one approach. The downside of that approach is that the more foods you take out of the diet, the more restrictive the diet becomes, the more likely the person is to have nutrient deficiencies in their diet and not have a nutrient-dense diet. Mm. So my approach is to have a short list of things I remove, put people on my diet, and then if they do not get the kind of response that they're hoping for, then I talk about these other at risks, which would include nightshades, would include soy, peanuts, et cetera.
Right.
And that they can take those out. And I talk about food sensitivity testing, food allergy testing, in that for some people, they do benefit from more specific food allergy testing so they can remove the foods to which they are sensitive.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's very difficult to write a book for the public that will be universally good for everyone
exactly.
and still very nutrient dense. So I decided to err on the side of nutrient density, have a small list of things that I'm going to remove, give people directions on what to do if this is not enough, what the next steps are, and to acknowledge that, yes, for some, nightshades may be a problem. So if people are worried about nightshades, leave them out. That's fine. And if you really want to know, do you have food sensitivities, then go get a food sensitivity test. And I talk about the pros and cons and the limitations of the various food sensitivity tests that are out there. And I will also tell the readers that whatever food sensitivity test you do, when you get your reports back, one of the things, if you read through the report line by line, one of the closing statements will be, a negative test does not mean you do not have food sensitivities. To know, the gold standard is an elimination diet where you remove the foods and you introduce them slowly one by one and establish what foods are safe.
Well, I think that makes more sense because I've had the food allergy panels done and they do not compute for me because it didn't make any sense. And I could see where they were saying, well, you don't have a sensitivity to gluten, when in fact I would be on the bathroom floor if I had just a little bit of gluten. So it didn't make any sense, and I agree with what you're suggesting to people wholeheartedly. I think the elimination diet is the way to go. Then you know for you, your own experience,
correct,
what this is about. So I'm all for that.
And the food allergy tests are based on what's called adaptive immunity, which is antibody-mediated. We also know there's another form of immunity called innate immunity, which occurs before the development of antibodies and is a factor for many problems with food sensitivity. It's being talked now that people with gluten sensitivity have more innate immunity problems. People with celiac disease have more antibody-mediated problems.
Interesting.
So that means you can have a negative food allergy, food sensitivity testing, and you still have an innate sensitivity. The food sensitivity panels may not detect that. The only detection will be when you do the elimination diet.
So it
can be a chore
really
to figure all this stuff out, and it may require a fair amount of sleuthing. Now, having said all of that, I find in my clinics, when I put people on the Walls diet, which takes out gluten, dairy, and eggs, the vast majority do extremely well. And very rarely do I have to get involved in trying to sort out what are the additional food sensitivities.
Wow. So those are the three top offenders then?
Correct.
Gluten, dairy, and eggs.
And eggs.
Wow.
Now, I would also throw in there genetically modified organisms. You want to be sure that you're eating organic.
Yeah.
Because, genetically modified soy and corn is very likely to result in some food sensitivity issues in the genetically vulnerable person.
Yes. Oh, that makes sense. It's something that I think everybody needs to stay away from no matter what. And it's getting harder to do because they're putting it in so many things. So it is good to insist on labeling, and it would be great to just see that taken out of the food supply altogether. But for now...
It's the consequence we're going to expect if we're getting processed food. If you're buying your vegetables, fruit, and meat organically, and you're not getting pre-processed foods, it's a little easier to stay gluten, GMO-free.
That's right.
However, over time, I think this will get more and more difficult as the GMOs escape into the wild.
Mm. That's the problem,
And I think that will happen.
It's very sad, yes.
It's very disturbing.
Mm-hmm. It really is. But in the meantime, people can choose to eat things that don't come in a package, and they can choose these nutrient-dense foods. And I know you're going to have a list of all of that. You already do have a list of that in your book. Now, I have another question in the chat room. Along with the diet, the healthy diet and the nutrient-dense diet that you're on and that you recommend to your patients, do you take any other supplements?
Oh, sure. I have a terrific chapter on supplements, the ones that I've used, and we talked about why supplements may be helpful in the test I suggest to determine which supplements to use. But I also discuss that nutrition depends on ratios for the vitamins, ratios between our minerals, and ratios between our essential fats. And as soon as we begin supplementing, we can inadvertently disrupt those ratios and create nutrient deficiencies. For example, if I take zinc, I can create a copper and iron imbalance. When I take a lot of vitamin D by mouth, I can create a vitamin A, K, and E imbalance, because for our most of our nutrients, our vitamins will interact with, you'll have more than one vitamin interacting with the receptor that takes it into the cell. And the same thing for the minerals and some of our antioxidants. And our essential fats exert their influence on our chemistry and on how our cells' membranes work based on the ratios. So supplement can be very helpful, but I think it should be based on the person's history and some basic lab testing, which I do discuss in the book to give people some guidance. And I talk about supplements that have been recommended, and then I explain the food sources so people understand why I've created the diet structure the way I have. That's very intentional, why I stress the sulfur vegetables, for example, and all the things that those sulfur vegetables do for us.
Sulfur? What would be an example of that?
Cabbage family, so cabbage, broccoli, cauliflower, kale,
okay. Bok
choy. And our liver uses sulfur to and kidneys to process and eliminate toxins. Our brain uses sulfur as it makes neurotransmitters.
Mm-hmm.
It's really a vital part of our diet. But because people don't want to have smelly gas, they often eliminate sulfur out of their diet because they feel embarrassed if they pass gas that has a sulfur smell to it.
Mm-hmm. Well, understandably, it can be embarrassing in company and social things, but at the same time, what you're talking about is having a nutrient-dense diet that's so important that it can save your life. And
it can save your life, absolutely.
That's the difference of import here. So it sounds like with a nutrient-dense diet, what you're talking about is the synergistic experience of your food, so that all of these foods work together so that you don't have these imbalances, so that when you take vitamin D, you don't end up with a deficiency in other things, because these fruits and vegetables are complete. Is that what you're saying?
Correct. In a very iterative fashion, we designed our food rules, created menus, tested them, conducted a nutrient analysis and said, yep, they're meeting the 31 nutrients I've said are critical or not. And if they weren't, then I adjusted the rules and ran the analysis again. So I could confirm that all three diet plans will deliver the nutrients that I've said are critical to the mitochondria and to the brain cells.
So here's another question for you that's coming from the chat room, which is very active today. They are asking about vitamin D, because there is a lot mm-hmm. being said today about the fact that we're all vitamin D deficient, that vitamin D deficiency does lead to a number of health issues. And it has been specifically addressed with MS. So what do you have to add to that?
I completely agree. I'd say virtually everyone that I test in my clinic, unless they are working outdoors like a beach guard, they're going to be deficient unless they're already on a supplement. I monitor the levels. The lab will say the normal is between 30 and 70. I think that is much too low. If we look at people who have optimal health and are the beach guards, lifeguards, their vitamin D levels are much closer to 100 nanograms per mil. So I shoot for between 50 and 100. And I generally use vitamin D3, or I talk with the individual about using their skin to make vitamin D during the summer to get outside, get a tan without a sunburn. To make that vitamin D.
So are there particular levels then that you are suggesting people test for and go for the higher level, closer to 50 to 100 is what you're saying?
Correct. There's a lovely paper that I talk about, nutrient biomarkers and brain function, that looked, and this was in a old person study, I think the average age was 87, and they looked at brain size and how well the thinking ability was, and then correlated that to the blood values for vitamin levels, mineral levels, antioxidant levels, essential fats, and trans fats. And what they were able to see is the higher the blood level of the nutrients, the bigger the brain, and the more optimal the thinking. So my preference is for people to have their vitamin and mineral levels in the top quartile of the reference range for more optimal health.
And then is there
I don't want it to be excessively high, but I certainly would rather people be at the top of the class than at the bottom of the class.
Yeah, absolutely. And then is there a specific type of test that you recommend? Is it a saliva test? Is it blood work?
So,
what do you suggest?
You know, I talk about tests that the primary care doc can do and will be comfortable doing, and then I talk about tests that a functional medicine doc can do, and that will be very, very expensive and are probably not covered by insurance.
Mm-hmm.
And where I practice at an academic center, I can't do these functional medicine tests. I do the primary care test and the careful history, and we have terrific results with that. In my clinical trials, I get to do the very expensive functional medicine testing, but that's just so I can see the before and after. Our protocol is the same regardless of test.
What is the functional medicine test that's used? Is it based on saliva or your
analysis? The test that we use, we do a NutriEval, which looks at a very detailed nutritional analysis of how well the mitochondria are working, how well we're making neurotransmitters in the lipids, fats, and it really is a wonderful snapshot of that person's nutritional status. I also do a urine test that gives me information about the toxic load, and we do a poop test to see who and what's growing in the person's poop. And those details are to help us understand the mechanisms of why I'm seeing the very exciting results that I'm seeing.
All of this, again, you get a really thorough picture when you're doing those types of functional medicine.
Yes.
I mean, that's it's head and shoulders above just blood work.
Yeah, it's extraordinarily thorough. And sometimes people will need that. In my experience, a good history, a good functional medicine history, very basic labs that I talk about in the book, will allow you to give the person very clear instruction on diet, lifestyle, and appropriate supplementation. And for the vast majority, you can have a phenomenal impact on reducing symptoms. Now, some people will not get as much response as you're hoping for, and that person may need the more extensive nutritional functional medicine eval. But you can spend many thousands of dollars doing that testing. I mean, and sometimes that really is necessary. But I explain in the book that for many, many people, just doing the diet and lifestyle and basic lab tests will have terrific results, and you can save yourself a boatload of money.
Which is fine,
but
too.
If you have the money to burn and you want faster results, you can certainly go see a functional medicine doc and spend the money to get these very detailed, comprehensive tests in a very personalized recommendation. And that's an okay approach, too. But not everybody will have that kind of resource capability.
Yes. I mean, I think a lot of people just feel if it's not covered by insurance, they're not going to do it. But when you're facing a major health issue, and sometimes the cost of these tests is not important. It's more important to get to the bottom of it.
Do all the diet and lifestyle stuff, and they've gotten some improvement, but they're hoping for a lot more, and they have the resources to get a functional medicine eval to personalize these recommendations. It could be money very well spent.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, again, if you don't have your health, then your quality of life is going to be miserable, and it's just going to make every day fairly depressing. So why not invest in your health and take some of these steps as you're recommending. Everybody, really, you've got to get Dr. Wall's new book, The Wall's Protocol. You have got to get it because, again, this is not just for people that have an autoimmune disease. This is for everybody.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I have hundreds of people that have reached out to tell us how the approach has revolutionized their lives. People with Parkinson's, with autism, with a variety of mental health problems have all had a wonderful success. Of course, diabetes, obesity, you would anticipate would do very well.
Right.
And in fact, you know, the people who are overweight, when they start our protocol, they'll come in, and it, typically what I'm told is, you know, the weight's just falling off. This is the best I've felt in years. I can't stuff another forkful of food into my mouth. And people lose weight pretty rapidly until they get down to a pretty ideal body mass, a weight that they were probably at in their early 20s. And then that's where they stay. So if you're underweight, people are not losing weight. It's just the people who had blossomed are getting back to their healthy weights again.
So everybody basically finds their balance on this diet.
So far, that seems to be the case. Yes.
That's wonderful. That's again, there's so much to be said for eating in this balanced way. Now, you said you eat a lot of organ meat. So what would that encompass for you?
So liver and heart. And if you're new to organ meats, heart is probably the easiest. It will taste like a wonderful steak. And you want to have it a little more on the rare side, medium rare. Liver is really quite delicious once you learn how to make it and not overcook it. Liver pate is very yummy. Mussels, oysters, sardines are also very good. Anytime you have the whole organ, that would suffice. Other cultures eat a lot of insects, worms, grubs, and, of course, those would be organ meats as well.
Uh-huh. Interesting. Well, and again, you're saying organic. This is not that you go to the grocery store and buy some stuff that's just not organic and take that home and eat it. That's not going to work out. So,
Certainly, you most especially want your meat to be organic because the meat will bioconcentrate the toxins. And most especially, you want your organ meats to be organic for that very reason.
Mm. Yes. Now, another question from the chat room is about detoxing from heavy metals. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
They want to know
so,
how to do it.
Yeah, I talk about my own personal experience. So 2 years into my recovery, you know, I'm walking, I'm biking, I'm doing really well. I think, yeah, I wonder how toxic am I? So I do a 24-hour urine toxin screen. And I'm diffusely toxic in most of the heavy metals. I think
yeah.
there were like 25 heavy metals, and there's only four that I was not toxic on.
Wow.
And so I made some more tweaks to my detox protocol, rechecked in 2 years, and I was completely clean. So the protocol is very intentionally designed to ramp up the enzymes that process and eliminate heavy metals, plastic solvents, perfumes, fragrances. And I do this in a very slow, gradual way. It'll take several years to completely detox. But if you detox too rapidly, what you do is you pull toxins out of your fat and shift them into your brain.
Ooh.
Which is why sometimes people can get into very serious trouble when they do detoxification and IV chelation therapy because things get pulled too rapidly. And they get pulled into the bloodstream too rapidly, more rapidly than what the liver and kidneys can remove, and so they get redistributed into the brain. So I'm much more in favor of a gradual detox unless you have an acute poisoning. And then, of course, you have to do an aggressive rapid IV chelation, et cetera.
Sure. But this way it's better. If you don't have a complete poisoning like that, then it's better to just – take it slow.
Take your time and
follow
go,
your protocol.
Yeah, go nice and go slow, but stay with it. And when you follow the Wall's protocol, that really is ramping up your enzymes for detox. And I predict that, you know, you'll have a very nice, successful, and safe detoxification.
That's perfect. And then one more question from the chat room before we have to end our incredible hour today. A question about water. Do you recommend any particular type of water to drink, distilled, spring? What do you recommend?
Water is now becoming so contaminated that we think we have to give a lot of thought to our water supply. And I talked about the fact that I use a reverse osmosis water, which takes all the minerals out and takes everything out. So I have to be very careful to get more minerals back into my diet, and I have more iodized sea salt for that reason. I think the most important thing is to get your water as pure as it can be so that, because, I mean, a lot of our city water supplies have pharmaceutical drugs in them now.
Yeah, they do.
So reverse osmosis takes that stuff out.
Okay, so that's,
so
thank you
that's my
so
biggest
much.
Concern.
Yeah, that's a very important question from our chat room today because, I mean, we are supposed to be drinking a good amount of water to help cleanse our body and rehydrate, but as you mentioned, so much of it's polluted, we don't even know what's in our water half the time when it's just tap water. So having it filtered
bad things.
Makes sense. Yeah, bad.
It's probably been contaminated with stuff, and the only way to have it be not contaminated is some type of reverse osmosis.
Well, this has all been such great information. It's like a nutrient-dense hour we've just had, Dr. Walls. This has been great. And
well, thank you so much.
Well, thank you. It's been such a privilege to have you on the show. And, I mean, I know our listeners are thrilled.
If you have one more thing to tell your viewers, I want them to go to my website and because they can give us their email and download the free materials that I talk about in the book. Terrific information on toxin load, more information on the recipes that we have. So some great info. So go to Terry Walls, Terry Walls, WAHLS.com, and be sure and pick that stuff up.
That's terrific. And I see you also have a Facebook page. And what I'm going to do for everybody is put all of this information in our newsletter for this week. So please make sure everybody are signed up for the newsletter, and I will make sure all of the links are in it so that you can just click on them and go to Terry's website. Again, that is Terry Walls, TerryWahls.com. And the name of Dr. Walls' book is The Walls Protocol, How I Beat Progressive MS Using Paleo Principles and Functional Medicine. So please run out and get that book. I'm sure it will change your life. I'm going to buy my own copy. And, Dr. Walls, I hope you'll autograph it for me. This has been
absolutely.
This has been great. Thank you so very much, not just for coming on the show today, but for all the great work you're doing. And again, not being afraid to go against the grain and finding something that really works. It's just tremendous. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right, everybody, we'll be back next week, and be safe out there.
Thanks for listening. Be sure to tune in next week for another terrific episode of Power Preppers with Patricia Baker.